The second caliph of Islam, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome once again in our new episode of our program, The Second Caliph of Islam, Umar ibn Khattab, radiyallahu an. Alhamdulillah, in this program, we talk about the greatness, the excellence of the leader of believers, the second Caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab, radiyallahu an. Inshallah, we will listen to a beautiful account today and also some other excellences of Umar ibn Khattab, radiyallahu an. And as usual, try to derive some Madani pearls from it in order to better ourselves, better our life, not only for the hereafter, but also for this very world as well. This very narration, Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah mentions in Jami' Tirmidhi, which he narrates from none other than the second Caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu an, where he says that your du'as remain suspended between the earth and the heavens until you send salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So dear viewers of Madani Channel, we also come to know of a solution, a formula you can say, for the acceptance of our du'as, that we should recite salat upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam for the acceptability of our du'as. Otherwise, our du'as will remain suspended between the earth and the heavens. So for the acceptability of our du'as, we should ensure that we send salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, the entire Arabian Peninsula has sandy and mountainous terrain. You will see loads of mountains and sandy terrain all around Arabian Peninsula. In addition to this, there are many harair in Arabian Peninsula. What are harair? Harair is the plural of harra. And what does harra mean? In Arabic language, harra means a piece of land where burnt dark stones are found in great numbers. In great numbers, you will find dark burnt stones in that very piece of land. This very piece of land is called harra, and the plural is harair. Now, Madinatul Munawwara, Zadahallahu Sharafan wa Ta'zeema, is situated between two such harair. The name of one harra is Harra wa Bara, which is towards the west of Madinatul Munawwara, and the second harra is called Harra Waqim, which is situated towards the east of Madinatul Munawwara. Now, when you talk about Hijaz, this entire region, then generally we know that the weather, the climate over there is very, very hot, and there are a lot of heat waves as well over there. However, when we talk about such valleys, such cities which are situated between harair like Madinatul Munawwara, then during winter period people also face a lot of cold. The weather also get very, very cold. Now, as we mentioned that Madinatul Munawwara is situated between two harair, so when the climate is very, very hot during summer time, but during winter time there's a lot of cold as well, it also gets very, very cold over there. So it was one very cold night in Madinatul Munawwara when the cold was at its peak, let alone humans, even animals, birds, no one could be seen outside because of the cold weather. That's how cold it was. In addition to the cold night, the silence outside, because there was no one out there, that silence outside had also turned the entire environment to present a frightful scene. You can imagine, it's a cold night. There's not even a single person, no chirping of birds. You can't even hear the animals around, and it's pitch dark night and it is freezing cold. You can imagine what kind of scene it would bring around. So similar kind of night, pitch dark, extremely cold, no chirping of birds, no sound of any other animals, no human being is there. So such a night we're talking about in Madinatul Munawwara. Now, in the midst of this entire situation, the two residents of Medina, who all of a sudden, they go out and start strolling in the streets of Medina. Now, by looking at them, one seemed to be the master and the other one seemed to be his servant. However, there wasn't a big difference between both of them. Anyone looking at them wouldn't be able to distinguish that who is the master and who is the servant. Perhaps the main reason for this could be that the master had not put on a very flashy garment or very apparent garment which would distinguish between both of them, or the conduct of the master was so nice towards the servant that no one would be able to distinguish that who is the master and who is the servant. And this entire scene, a person could see that the master is not even showing that he is the master. Anyhow, they both are strolling in such pitch dark night, such cold night, and the way they were strolling and walking down, it seemed as if this is not the first time that they both have gone for this kind of a walk in Madinatul Munawwara. So it seemed as if this is one of their routine practices. So while strolling in the streets of Medina, both the master and the servant, they go all the way up to 3 miles up until Harra Waqim. One of the Harras we spoke earlier, up to Harra Waqim, both of them, they walk to 3 miles approximately, this distance is. Now, when they reached there, when they arrived there, all of a sudden they stopped there. And what was the reason for them stopping over there? They saw a tent where fire was lit. So seeing this, they stopped over there, and the master, he looked at the servant and he said, "Oh Aslam," the name of the servant was Aslam. He said that who can be there in such cold freezing night? Now the servant, he expressed an awareness to this. He expressed that he doesn't know. So the master, he himself says that I think perhaps this would be a caravan who has stayed over here because of the cold freezing night to spend this night over here. That's why they've lit the fire over there, just to spend the night over here. Let's go and see what the matter is. So both of them, they start walking towards that tent. But as they approached it, they both were astonished to see that it wasn't any kind of tent. It was a very sort of broken down house. And within the house, there was no caravan whatsoever. There was one woman who was living in there with her small children, and who had put a pot, a cooking pot, on the stove. And it seemed as if she's cooking something. And her children, they were sitting down and continuously they were crying as if they were hungry. Now this master, he said salam to the woman, and the woman replied back to him without paying much attention to him. Now the master, he sought permission to enter the house, and the woman, she replied that if you have a good intention, only then enter, otherwise you don't need to enter. Because the woman was very, very grieved, hence that could be the reason of why she was talking in this tone. Anyways, the master, he thought to himself that he should enter the house and he should at least console the woman, and he should see that why is she suffering and what is the reason behind all this. So the master, he enters the house and he says that, "Oh woman, who are you? Why are the children crying?" So the woman replied that, "I am a resident of Medina, and my children, these children who are crying, they are very, very, very hungry, and this is why they are crying." So the master, he said that, "What is in this cooking pot? The cooking pot that is on the stove, what is in there?" So she said that there's only water in there. There's only water in this cooking pot, and I've done this just to comfort the children so that they can be in wait of food and they can go to sleep whilst waiting for food. Then Saying all this, the saddened and grieved woman, she carried on to say that I am a poor woman and I do not have enough money to feed my children, to comfort them. However, Amir al-Mu'mineen, the leader of believers, he doesn't know anything about us. We are his subjects. We are in his kingdom. It is his right. He takes care of us. It is his right. Anyways, no problem. Our time will pass anyways. But on the day of judgment, Allah Almighty will decide between us and Amir al-Mu'mineen. And indeed, the capturing, the seizure of the day of judgment is very, very severe. Now, listening to these words of the grieved woman, the master, he had tears in his eyes. And he said that, O woman, may Allah have mercy upon you. May Allah alleviate, remove your problems and your worries. However, Amir al-Mu'mineen, the leader of believers, he perhaps doesn't know that you are in this state, that this is how you are living. And upon this, the woman, she replied, whilst asking the question, that he is our ruler and he is heedless of us, he is negligent of us, he doesn't even know that what state we are living in. So the woman uttered these words, asking a question to this very master. Anyways, listening to this story, the state of the woman, the master, he comes out of her house and goes to his servant Aslam straight away, and he says that, come with me quickly. Now, both of them, walking quickly, go back in Madinatul Munawwara. Remember, they had come 3 miles out of Madinatul Munawwara towards Harrai Waqim. And now, they're walking back to go in Madinatul Munawwara. Now, as they were walking, the master, he was lost in deep thoughts. And the words of the woman had left very impactful, you can say, on the heart of this very master. Now, the same master who was going in that direction, was talking to his servant, now very quietly he's going back in a rush to Madinatul Munawwara. Now, both of them, the master and the servant, they reach a place where there was provisions of food. So all of a sudden the servant, he opens the door. Now the master, he took a sack of flour, dates, some money and some other things for eating, and told his servant Aslam that, load all this on my back. Now, upon this, the servant Aslam, he very politely, very humbly said that, Your Honor, please order me. I will load all this on my back and take it to the woman. Upon this, the master, he said to his servant, what did he say? He took a great sigh, and then he, in a very painful voice, he said to his servant, that today you will load my burden on your back in this world. You will bear my pain. But remember the day when no other soul will take the burden of any other soul, when no one's pain will be passed on to anyone else. On that day, will you take my load on you? Will you take my burden on your back on that very day? So listening to these beautiful words of his master, the servant, he became silent and he fulfilled the command of his master and he loaded all those provisions on the back of his master. Now once again, both these personages, the master and the servant, again start walking towards that very broken down house of that woman outside Madinatul Munawwara. So first they went over there, then they came back, and now after loading all these provisions of goods, of eating goods, they are going again in the direction of that broken down house of that very lady, of that very woman. Remember, it is a freezing cold night, it is pitch dark, and you can imagine walking 3 miles in one direction, then coming back, loading all those goods and then walking back to the same place. Approximately this whole journey would be 9 miles in pitch dark, freezing cold night. This master and this servant, they are going back and forth, approximately 9 miles up until now. So the master and the servant, again, they are rushing towards the house of that very woman with all these provisions on their back. Now, when they both reached the house of the woman, she was astonished to see all the eating goods, all the food items that they had brought with them. Now, the master, Allahu Akbar. He unloads all those goods over there and he takes out a sack of flour. And what does he say to the woman? Take some flour out of it and put some salt on it and I'll start cooking harira. Harira is the name of one of the dishes. So what does the master do now? He starts blowing in the fire under the cooking pot, which was placed over the fire. So the master, he starts blowing into the fire to the extent that the smoke of the fire starts going through the beard of the master. Allahu Akbar. Now a time came when the food was cooked and the master, he took that cooking pot off the stove and he said to the woman that if you have a bigger bowl, anything like that, please bring it. So the woman, she brings a bigger bowl and this master, what does he do? He pours all that food in that bowl and now he starts to cool down the food with his own hands. And when the food is cooled down, what does he do? He calls the crying children to him. He calls them to him and starts feeding them himself with his own hands to the extent that they all ate to their fill. They all were satiated and they all became happy. Not only this, dear viewers of Madani Channel, this very master, he to comfort the children further, he started to play with them, which increased their happiness even further to the extent that whilst playing and in state of happiness, they fell asleep. Now, the leftover food, this very master, he left all that food with the woman and then he came to his servant Aslam and sat next to him. It seemed as if a burden from his heart has been lifted, has been removed, and he has attained some kind of peace or satisfaction. Now that woman, she addressed them and she said that you are very, very merciful. You are very, very compassionate. In this testing time, in this time of need, you helped me and you brought happiness. You brought smile to the crying faces of my children. How can I thank you? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the best of rewards for this. And she carries on to say that the actual fact is that you are deserving of being Amirul Mu'mineen. You are deserving of being the caliph, the leader of Muslims. Now Aslam, the servant, he was seeing all this and he was seeing the apparent change in the tone of the woman. And he could see that the woman is very, very pleased now, is very, very happy now. Now dear viewers of Madani Channel over here, if you ponder upon the state of any other person, if he's praised to this extent, where even a grief-stricken person, they praise him. He goes to the extent of helping them out. He goes to the extent of removing that worry or that need from them. And they praise him. Now what will happen? They will become overly proud. And they will start talking about this everywhere. It would be everywhere on the social media. You see, they will feel a lot of pride in this very action. However, this very master that we are talking about, he did not pay any kind of heed towards these praising words of that woman. And eventually, instead of this, he said that, "Oh woman, what you are saying, I'm not like this at all. And me, worthy of being Amirul Mu'mineen? This is a very strange matter. However, if you visit the court of Amirul Mu'mineen, you will eventually find me over there." Then the master, he thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then he addressed his servant Aslam and he said, "Oh Aslam, it was hunger that had kept these children awake and that was making them cry. When I saw the state of theirs, it reminded me of my own children and I made this intention in my heart that until and unless I don't change their starvation into satiation, until I don't change their crying into smiling, into laughing, until I don't change their sadness into happiness, I will not be at peace. I will not be at peace. And I will not return back to my home until then. Alhamdulillah. Thanks to Allah that I have succeeded in this very aim of mine." Saying this, the master and the servant, both of them, then returned back to their house whilst strolling through the streets of Medina. Allahu Akbar. Now, dear viewers of Madani channel, just if we pause for 1 second over here, and we spoke about 9 months earlier, but then they're coming back over here as well in such freezing night, pitch dark night. So if you add 3 more miles in this journey, it will come up to 12 miles. First they went 3 miles, came back 6 miles, then they went back 3 miles with all that provisions loaded on their back, 9 miles. Then after that they came back 12 miles in freezing cold night just to serve this grief-stricken woman. Now, as we went through this beautiful account, a question may be arising in the minds of many viewers of Madani channel, that who was this personality who was strolling in the streets in such freezing night in Madinatul Munawwara? Who was this personality who had such great conduct with his servant? Who was this personality who had finished every kind of difference between him and his servant? Who was this personality who had such beautiful mannerism towards his servant? Who was this personality who had the passion of serving the Ummah of the Prophet ﷺ to this extent in his heart? Who was this personality? Who was this personality who, in such freezing cold night, went to a grief-stricken, a poor lady, and to turn her sadness into happiness? Who was this personality through whose words the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reflected? Who was this personality who fed children, crying children, with his own hands? Who was this personality who comforted crying children by playing with them? Who was he? Who was this individual? Who was this personality by looking at whose character that grief-stricken woman said that you are deserving to be Amirul Mu'mineen? Who was this personality, dear viewers of Madani channel? This personality was none other than our master, our hero, the legendary personality, the desire of the Prophet, the successor of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, the second caliph of Islam, the leader of the Muslims, Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anh. This was the personality that we are talking about, and this is the personality, such personality, who had this level of fear of Allah Almighty in his heart, who had this level of passion to serve the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, who went to this extent in such freezing and cold night of Madinatul Munawwara just to bring happiness to faces of children, just to provide them with food, just to remove this calamity from them. This is our master, Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. And this is what we learn from the seerah, from the biography of these legendary personalities, in particular from the personality of Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. When we look at ourselves, dear viewers of Madani channel, how much pain of serving the Ummah do we have in our hearts? How much fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do we possess in our hearts? We are able to help someone, but yet we neglect this very fact. We don't go to help them. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this ability today to help others. But then, even if we do end up helping others, then we start feeling self-pride. We start publicizing it. We start posting it on social media platforms. Was our intention to publicize our good deed, or was it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Look at the conduct of Amirul Mu'mineen Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anh, when he was loading all those food provisions on his back, when his servant humbly said that, "Oh master, your eminence, let me take all this on my back." Look at the reply of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anh, that remember that day, the day when no one's pain will be given to anyone else, when no soul's burden will be shifted to any other soul. Remember that day. Today you will take this burden from me. Today you will take this burden of me in this world. Will you carry my burden on that very day as well? Look at these words full of advice and admonition that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anh said to his servant. And just imagine this very view in your mind, dear viewers of Madani channel, that it is a freezing night, pitch dark night, 3 miles of distance. And the master, he is carrying all these goods on his back, whereas his servant is walking with him. Where would we find such examples? Where would we find such examples, Jibril of Madani channel? And Amir al-Mu'mineen, the master, he goes himself and he's feeding children. He's blazing the fire himself to the extent the smoke is coming in his own beard. This is what's written in the books. Then he feeds the children with his own hands. He is cooling the food down for them. Then he plays with them until they go sleep happily. Allahu Akbar. In the light of this, we need to reflect upon our own state. We need to ponder upon our own state and bring this level of passion of serving the Ummah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in our character as well. Serve the needy. Fulfill the needs of the needy. Fulfill the needs of the grief-stricken people in our society. Just imagine what a beautiful society it will turn out to be. This is what we learn from the seerah of Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu. And it is a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has blessed us with these personalities whom we can follow and better our lives in this world as well as in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His choicest of mercies and blessings upon the second caliph of Islam, Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu, and may Allah Almighty forgive us all without accountability for His sake. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen. صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم
The second caliph of Islam عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه